Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's Sombrero Day. Happy Thursday. I decided we're going to talk about this today substantively. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with talking about it substantively.
Mm-hmm.
You?
I'm thinking about it. I was just saying this off the air. I'm like, what am I doing? I should tell the story on air. Last night, laying in bed, and I'm laying on my side facing the window, and I'm scrolling through Twitter, as I am apt to do. It's kind of my, if I don't get to watch a ton of news at night, then I just go on Twitter and I like, it's time for your checkup. And then I just go and check up on the news and make sure that, okay, the dumpster fires that I was aware of are the ones that we're still talking about. Good night, sleep tight. And so I'm going through and I see these sombrero videos and I'm watching them. And Jared is snuggled up behind me with his head propped up over on a pillow, and he's looking over me, and he doesn't know anything about the sombreros. And that is a wild place to just enter the current political timeline, is the sombrero memes. If you haven't seen these, if you're not on Twitter, if you're not on X, do you know this stuff is happening? Is it on TikTok?
Because they're talking about it in the news, you might know from that.
It's a super funny thing to just jump into the middle of, though, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
So if you're like, oh my gosh, the government is day two of shutdown. They seem to be at an impasse, and there's nothing that's going to resolve this because the Democrats want to give health care to illegal aliens, and the Republicans want a clean CR, but Hakeem Jeffries says it's dirty, and you're like, I got to get to the bottom of this.
Tree will get you nowhere. We are fighting to protect the health care of the American people in the face of an unprecedented Republican assault.
Thank you.
That was posted by the President of the United States, which is where this is a really important story. The President of the United States is posting this. This isn't something that is happening on the internet. It's something that is happening on the internet because the president put it there. That's the poll today. How do you feel about the president's sombrero memes? There was, yesterday we aired with J.D. Vance, we aired his admonishment of the Democrats for the Schumer shutdown. Of course, everything is now in hashtags and everything, hashtag Schumer shutdown, whatever. He said, he got asked a question from a reporter that was talking about the racist sombrero memes. And J.D. Vance is like, is Hakeem Jeffries a Mexican-American who's offended that I put a sombrero on him? It's a joke. That's what J.D. Vance said. He goes, it's just a joke. It's funny. And then he said, this is the cherry on top. J.D. Vance says, from the press briefing podium, we make a commitment to stop the sombrero memes if the Democrats agree to open up the government. You are here.
And I've talked to the president about this, and
yes,
he is on the same page.
He's made the commitment.
I'm not going to tell you how I'm answering this question yet because we got 3 hours. We're going to discuss. But I will say this.
You just do it over and over and over again.
If you see that video that Annie just played or even heard the audio.
Or the other one, the initial one, which I wanted to play, but
or
Brad has
one.
Informed me that Mr. Senator Chuck Schumer says bold sugar twice in it, and
yeah,
because the Senate minority leader, who is frustrated about sombrero memes because it's like beneath the office, I can't play his clip with the sombrero because Not because of the sombrero, but because he's using profane language that the FCC government regulated agency won't let me play on these here public airwaves. You were saying?
If you watch that video or those videos and you are incensed, you were already incensed.
Yeah.
They're not.
It was just today's spice.
They're not changing the dialogue. They're not changing the political landscape. Whatever you already thought, you're probably bringing to that meme. So I just don't think that there's going to be a lot of people who are like, oh my gosh, I'm so mad about this, who aren't already mad at the president for anything.
Our poll question today, how do you feel about the president's sombrero memes? Wouldn't it be amazing to just take some of the poll questions that we've asked over the course of time, and let's say in 20... You were with the show in 2018. You're very close to your anniversary. It's October something, because I got an email that was said we were supposed to celebrate you, but I don't...
Thank you. I joined this show in 2019.
What day? What's your date?
September 30th. It was...
Well, they put it in October.
Well, my work anniversary started in 2018.
So this show is September.
This show is September 30th of 2019.
And Brad's September 2021.
Yes.
Imagine in like 2016, someone's like, you guys are going to be a part of a great midday afternoon show on 97.1 FM Talk, and here are a few of the poll questions you'll ask. And one of them is, how do you feel about the president's sombrero memes?
I'd say we're in a good place.
Aren't you going to go, how do we get there?
Yes, but...
What happens between now and then that is the leading question of the day?
I know that that's a funny question. But it really does highlight a much deeper and bigger point. And I say this, anytime the news cycle is slow, the news stations tend to jump to something that doesn't matter quite as much. A lot of times that's a human interest story. It's some random crime that they elevate the person involved and they say, this person is a national celebrity now. Everybody care about this case. This to me is that. This means that...
Slow news day?
No, not slow news day, just...
The government is shut down.
Yeah, but this is about the government shutdown. I'm just saying, whenever it's like this, and you can joke about the news a little bit, that's a good place to be.
I don't know. I think it depends on where you are, of course, in retrospect to the issue at hand. But this goes back to yesterday's poll question, where we asked you if you thought we were getting, if America was getting back to, did I say cultural normal?
Yes.
Did I use the word cultural?
Yep.
If we're getting back to normal, the fact that there is a little bit of an edge to this joke, to this meme, the fact that we're permitted to discuss whether or not we find it funny, in my opinion, signifies that we are somewhere closer to normal than we were when this all started.
Mm-hmm. Completely agree.
I am allowed to decide what I think is funny, and you are allowed to judge me for it.
Solid.
God bless America.
Yes.
What a great country. Our options for the poll question today, and I have four of them here. Sometimes I'm like, do you like them or not? But then it's a little more nuanced than that. How do you feel about the president's sombrero memes? The first one is, it's a funny joke. The next one is, doesn't bother me. You're kind of neither here nor there on it. You're not just waiting with bated breath, because there's a lot of knockoff sombrero memes out there. Some of them are pretty funny. So doesn't bother me, or this is not helpful, which is one of the questions that was like how the wording was to J.D. Vance yesterday in the press briefing. Like, do you find this to be helpful? And he's like, helpful? It's a joke. Like, President Trump isn't doing sombrero memes on True Social and then everywhere else it gets posted to end the shutdown. That's not his grand plan, is it?
I don't know. It's definitely...
Okay, maybe I'm wrong on that.
I don't think he's approaching that meme and going, this will be helpful.
You know what we need? And also, I know that the president, for his True Social posts and stuff, I've seen videos of this, he dictates what's going to be posted. And he has somebody there who's just like flying on the keyboard. And he'll dictate the punctuation, capital letters. And he'll say, this is what's going to happen. So I know that he is intimately involved in that, but I cannot imagine that these types of things, he's got a great team of digital memers, memographers,
meme lords,
meme lords, meme lords,
or say meme lords, memoids,
meme lords.
Whatever we decide here, we are going to stick with.
Well, I guess it's meme lords.
His team gets it, and here's the thing: we keep hearing the left can't meme. They can't.
No.
What Gavin Newsom's team is doing is they're putting like Gru's minions. What's the original movie called? Not minions.
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. They're putting Despicable Me minion overalls on J.D. Vance and I think Speaker Johnson and the circle glasses and making them talk like this. And that's all there is to it. And it's like, you just filtered a video. I still agree with the minion. I'm with the minion. So you look at what the right is doing with this and what the left is doing it with this. This is the difference, folks. And this is really important. And this is a great measurement of where you want to be. The right is doing this because it's funny and it's fun. The left is doing this because they're angry and they're mad. And it's never fun to laugh at a joke that's being said in a angry, hateful way. It's fun to laugh at everything when it's done in a fun and playful way. Now, I'm on the side that I feel like is winning in this issue, or will be winning, because we have a majority, at least for now. It's fun to have fun. It's fun to be in a position where you can be playful about things and not feel like the whole world's going to come crashing down because you decided for a second to exhale and have a little laugh. Here is Senator Kennedy from Louisiana.
And I don't mean any disrespect. I don't know Mr. Jeffries that well. I know Senator Schumer very well. So I say this with respect. Chuck and Hakeem need to go to Amazon, buy some testicles, and stand up to the moon wing of their party.
I thought I would ask you, Ryan, you can get testicles on Amazon?
He's just kidding. You can't really go buy testicles.
Have you tried?
I can't say that.
You act as if you know that you can't.
You can't go buy testicles on Amazon. If
you How take would you any know?
That's the title of the hour.
How would you? No, it's not.
On the podcast.
No, it's not.
It is now. You can't buy testicles on Amazon. Everybody knows it.
No. Yeah.
Senator Kennedy is joking.
No.
And it comes across well. It's political satire, and it's very poignant.
The takeaway here is that apparently Ryan Wiggins is emphatically aware that you cannot buy testicles on Amazon.
Not real ones.
There are no follow-up questions. There are no follow-up questions. There are no follow-up questions.
Take the pitch.
We will now somehow transition to Hans von Spakovsky. What'd you book him on? What are we talking to Hans about? Anything specific?
Nothing specific.
Okay. I'm going to talk to him about government shutdowns then, and I want to ask him. We keep hearing the OMB director saying, like, oh, there are some opportunities that might open up here to the executive branch, the OMB, to make some effective issues on where money goes to spend. People can get fired and then rehired as opposed to furloughed, all of this stuff. Let's ask Hans what he's looking for in a government shutdown. And I'll dip into a little bit of James Comey with him as well. Hans von Spakovsky on the show next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a home. put the White House and the president in this position. And if they don't want further harm on their constituents back home, then they need to reopen the government. It's very simple. Pass the clean continuing resolution and all of this goes away. We would not be having these discussions here at the White House today if not for the Democrats voting to shut the government down. This is an unfortunate consequence, and the president and Russ Vogt will be meeting on that later today.
We the people of the United States,
Form of
our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
Oh, Hans, good to have you back on a Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being with us today.
Sure, always happy to talk to you.
So I wanted to get your thoughts, your constitutional expertise on this government shutdown. Obviously, there's a lot of politics that have gone into the moment to get us where we are. But while the government is shut down, I continue to hear the OMB director, even from the president and the administration say, hey, if the government is shut down, that there can be some decisions that are made about things that are traditionally funded by the government, like firings, where instead of a furlough, if you get fired, then they can rehire whomever they want. Does that sound, am I getting that right?
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting about that is that several of the public employee unions who represent federal employees, they already filed a lawsuit claiming that the president can't use lack of funding to fire federal employees, which that just seems like a totally ridiculous claim, isn't it? If there's no money there to pay somebody, why in the world can't you fire them? I mean, I think it's a frivolous lawsuit, but it shows you how desperate they are to prevent that. And I've never seen as smart or clever a counter move as this president has made. Because, look, I've been in Washington for two decades. We've had government shutdowns frequently in the past, but never, ever has a president, particularly a Republican president, said, oh, okay, yeah, Democrats, you're not willing to approve a budget. You want to shut down the government? Well, I'm just going to use that to fire all these federal employees for whom there is currently no money.
Hmm. So you're saying this is it's a savvy move by the administration, but also what I'm seeing is, you know, I've heard Speaker Johnson repeat many times that this is a clean CR. I've heard the Democrat leadership say this is dirty pool that they're trying to the way they're not negotiating. Can you explain to us a little bit just, you know, the power of the purse is one of the greatest assets that Congress has, being very close to the people. What is this CR? If you're looking at what the Republicans are trying to do here versus what the Democrats are trying to do, how does this play out constitutionally to get us to the place where we can pass all of the final 12 bills that need to be done?
Look, there's a real simple way for folks to understand this, even though the budget is enormous. What the Republicans are proposing, a CR, continuing resolution, means funding for all government programs and government agencies will continue exactly as it currently is. No increases in funding. And what the Democrats have been pushing for is they want all this extra funding put in. They want funding put in particular, for what the Biden administration was doing, which got cut out recently, funding for health benefits for illegal aliens. That was cut in prior budget deals and by law, and the Democrats want that restored. So they don't want the current funding levels continued as they have been. They want more money put in, and basically it's for funding health care for illegal aliens. That's what this whole thing boils down to.
Hans, this is Ryan. I have heard the president say that one of the reasons that they don't want a shutdown is because, well, shoot, this is a lot of our priorities that now don't have funding that we just passed in the big, beautiful bill and all that.
Right.
What exactly cannot be done that the president wants to get done that, you know, he has to wait until there's funding for?
Well, what's his biggest priority been? It's been enforcement of our immigration laws. And we've had huge numbers of federal law enforcement agents, not just from ICE, but from many other departments, getting involved in helping to do that. Well, they're still out there working, doing this, but they're not getting paid. So that is a problem. I really feel for example, ICE agents who are not only getting assaulted and shot at in all these liberal cities around the country, but now they're not getting a paycheck. And that does hamper efforts that the president is making. Also, remember, they've been trying to restore the wall at places along the border that the Biden administration, where they took it down or refused to install it. That's also going to stop while there's no funding for government programs. Now, people need to understand necessary work continues. So people will still keep getting their Social Security benefits. They'll still keep getting pension benefits if they're veterans. That does not stop even during a government shutdown because of federal law that says that has to continue.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky. I'd like to shift gears here just a little bit and ask you just your thoughts where we are right now. I think the last time we talked to you, maybe James Comey had been indicted at that point. But he comes out and he says he's ready for a trial and he's innocent. Do you feel like that story? It seems like these things kind of pop up and it soaks up all of our attention for a minute and then they kind of go by the wayside. They're going to be hearings, subpoenas, and all that type of stuff. How is that effort by the Justice Department right now progressing, even when it's not the lead story? You think they're going to get to the bottom of this, and how long does that take before we get the next big story?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we do know that the president has not been shy about this, and that when, for example, the acting U.S. attorney in Virginia was not going forward with the investigation indictment of James Comey, the president replaced him. So he's clearly pushing, and people understand, the people who work in the Justice Department elsewhere, that they've got to move along on this. And look, they are having all kinds of information come out. Look, something that just got buried is, remember, 2 weeks ago, the Senate released information they'd gotten from the FBI showing that Jack Smith targeted like 100 conservative organizations with secret subpoenas to get, for example, their bank records, including, of all things, the Republican Attorney General's Association. That was one of the most outrageous abuses of federal power I have ever seen. And that only came out because this administration is saying we're going to disclose the things that the Biden administration was doing.
Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us right now. One last question with you about the judiciary, of course. Fox News is reporting that lawyers for President Donald Trump have asked the Supreme Court last week to review the legality of his executive order ending birthright citizenship. We know we got a ruling on kind of surrounding the idea of birthright citizenship, but not defining exactly what birthright citizenship was before. Fox News says it's a high profile and controversial order that, if enacted, would have profound impacts on the lives of millions of Americans and lawful U.S. residents. What is your thought on this Supreme Court case, and what kind of judgment will the Supreme Court, what kind of question will they have to answer with this particular case?
Well, the key question is going to be the citizenship clause is in the 14th Amendment. Remember, that was one of the post-Civil War amendments that was put in. And the key thing for them to look at is going to be the legislators who passed that amendment, 14th Amendment, in Congress. What did they mean that, what did they intend that provision to mean? And I think if they actually look at that history, they'll find that the later interpretation of it that started like in the 1940s that, oh yeah, everybody born in America is a citizen, is wrong. That was not the original intent of it. And I think if the Supreme Court does that, actually looks at the original intent, they will rule in the president's favor.
So this version of the birthright citizenship question in front of the Supreme Court could lead to a ruling on the definition of what birthright citizenship, according to the 14th Amendment, what that actually means.
That is exactly right. Yes.
Oh, man. Do you think, in your opinion, Hans, that let's say the ruling as you have articulated there, that they could see it from the initial intent coming, you know, as part of the 14th Amendment, the way the legislators intended it to be versus how it was interpreted later in the 20th century. Do you feel like that will have a retroactive application to people in the United States? Like, what do you do if that's defined that way? What happens to people who have had birthright citizenship under the current interpretation?
See, I think retroactivity would be too difficult to enforce. And I think if the Supreme Court actually comes out the right way on this, what they'll do is say, this is the correct interpretation from the date that this decision was issued. So, yeah, I don't think it'll affect people before the Supreme Court's decision, but going forward, I think it would. That's the easiest way for them to handle it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it would be up to the Supreme Court to determine the validity of the citizenship for people up to that point, or if the president could potentially, you know, offer an amnesty order or something that would say up until this point, but from here on out, we're going to do birthright citizenship this current interpretation way. It seems like crazy situation.
Yeah, but that's basically the way his attitude has been. I mean, you know, he's telling the State Department to issue or not issue passports based on his interpretation of the 14th Amendment. He's not telling them to go back and revoke passports that have already been issued to people under what he thinks is the wrong interpretation of that clause. So they're already acting going forward, not retroactively.
Well, we will wait and see. When will that ruling, when could we get that ruling? June?
The only thing we know is it'll be, the deadline will be June of next year. Otherwise, okay, you never know when the Supreme Court is going to issue a decision.
Oh, how exciting. Hans von Spakovsky, we appreciate you. Thanks for being with us again today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Take care, bye-bye. Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. That's going to be wild. That is going to be a wild moment in the news cycle.
It is, because it's something that we all know is coming. You know, a lot of times news is just so sudden, you go, oh my gosh. But that's one we were watching for. You know, that question legally is such a big one. And the other one is, and it's not quite related, but it's in the same category, I would think, is counting illegal immigrants in the census. You know, that may end up at the Supreme Court too. Those are two really big issues that we could see. What did he say? June was the latest?
Well, it's June's always, the end of June is always when we kind of get that big dump of rulings, but they could come before that. They just have to have it done by then.
Right.
I hadn't really thought about it until I was having that conversation with him. Like, okay, so if you determine what it is, what about the people who have lived their whole life? You know, like, I would call those like the ultimate DACA people, not the people who were brought here when they were young, unassuming, and have lived their whole life here. I mean, you've been told you're a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a citizen.
Then I wonder if they would be grandfathered. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, that was the question to him. Like, what happens to those people? And he said that the president has never positioned this as if there would be a retroactive behavior done.
Yeah.
And my question to him being, does the Supreme Court make a ruling about what birthright citizenship is and a ruling about what happens next? Or does the president sign an executive order essentially pardoning, I would assume, pardon's not the right word, because those people, I don't think you could say were committing crimes if they were born here. And that's always been the interpretation since the, you know, air quotes, anchor baby idea has been part. So it's not like I wouldn't call that. I think those people are very different than those individuals who have come over here knowingly shirking the system. But in my opinion, that's definitely something that if I were the president, I would get ahead of. I would answer that question sooner than later. Say, we're talking about everything going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. Riggins America next. Ryan is going to tell us about things that we won't need soon, and we're going to agree or disagree. Is that
okay.
Right? Is that what you said?
Well, agree or disagree and see if you actually think you won't need these things.
Okay. Let's take a quick... What?
We're just going into the third segment.
Okay. Well, Wiggins America will be whenever we get to it.
Yay.
Which is really unlike any other day. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I wasn't expecting, but who am I to tell fate?
What was the story you said you wanted to cover?
Oh, it was just one from the New York Post, real quick,
oh,
if you
crap.
Want to.
I forgot what it was, honestly.
You did, didn't you? You sure you want to do this? Kid alert.
No. My kids are off school today.
Oh, are they?
There's a New York Post about story about, a drag queen?
Yes. Yes, that's part of it. The name of the drag queen is the problem. Well, you know what? It's all a problem.
Everything about this is fine. The name's questionable.
I'll read it without the name.
Okay. Yes.
Harvard hires drag queen named blank blank as visiting professor. Visiting professor.
Does it say what she's teaching?
Expected to teach a class on the TV show RuPaul's Drag Race.
College is different. Harvard is really different.
It's just for the spring semester, though. That's why he is a visiting.
What is the lamest, most mail it in, I need a credit class that you took in college?
Badminton.
Did you really?
Oh, heck yeah.
I took golf, bowling, personalized shape up.
Wow, that had to be boring.
Walking.
Walking. I couldn't even do those. I was like, I at least have to play a sport or something.
I know, but they would tell you to like walk on your own time. You didn't have to go to class.
That's nice.
And I was like, I promise to walk today.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was one credit hour. I think I took 18 credit hours one semester, and I had media law, media critical theory, two of the backbreaker classes people can struggle to pass. Oh, basketball. I had basketball that semester, too.
Man, you had a lot of sports and
it was a summer.
PE stuff.
It was a summer. And I needed those two classes to graduate, to finish my degree, like my bachelor's in communications. And then I just needed some more credit hours. And I was like, why would I better myself in other intellectual studies? I'm going to play basketball. And I did. And I was able to hang.
Did you have to take any written tests for those?
For what?
For any of the sports.
Because
we did. We had to take a written test for badminton.
Let me air some grievance here. I worked three jobs most of the time through college, including one year I was a resident assistant, which was actually really difficult work because it was so time consuming. But in my effort to get media law and critical theory, which required an enormous amount of studying and learning, like not everything I took in college did, personalized shape up was one of the classes I took there. It was a first year
teacher assistant.
TA.
But they could teach classes, right?
Yeah.
It's personalized shape up. He was probably trying to get a kinesiology degree to be a physical, a trainer. And so I'm like 100% fully, honestly, like mailing it in. I just want the credits at the end of the semester. I'm going to take walking and basketball, but I'm also having to apply myself. You're not supposed to really take media law and critical theory at the same time because they're pretty intensive.
Obviously.
But I got a B in personalized shape up and it put me at a 3.49 GPA. And I didn't graduate cum laude because of that freaking TA who was on a power trip. And if you're listening to this show right now, I'm talking to you. Because the first test that he gave, there's like a lot of tests. The first test that he gave, there were like 75 people in this class. And you were basically supposed to create a workout, and then you were supposed to do it. which I was doing anyway. Maybe not as structured, but he gave this, he gave a test. He graded it on a curve because the highest grade was a C of like 75 people in this class. I don't think he'd ever written a test before. Wow, and that, wow. Man, I got some Chuck Schumer words to say.
That's amazing.
About this. And I was so mad and I like pled. I was like, can I do extra credit? No.
It's not the exact same circumstance, but very similar. That I had a class that I thought, oh, this would be easy. I ended up getting a lower grade than I thought I was going to. And then graduated at the exact same grade point average as you. 1/100th of a point away from
cum laude. I was a sneeze away from cum laude.
Yes, oh, me man. Too. Exact same thing.
That's brutal.
Rage!
I was mad. Yours is worse than mine. Because I was just kind of mailing it in on one of the classes because I thought it was easy. But that one's even worse.
I was mailing it in because it was supposed to be easy, Mr. Teacher, Assistant, or whatever your name is.
Only thing I remember was that I could not call that birdie a birdie. It's a shuttlecock. and you would get doxxed if you did.
Speaking of things the FCC doxed. Won't let us say. Birdie.
That right, was the name break. Of the that was the name of the professor at Harvard.
Everybody's been waiting. Nope.
Professor Shuttlecock.
Yeah. Everybody's been waiting for Wiggins America, which I preemptively promoted. We'll discuss on the break whether or not Wiggins will be back after this break. Stick around to find out. We'll be right back.
25.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins! All right, these are things that are going away, and I want to see if, A, you think that actually will go away.
Ryan Wiggins.
Nope, not me. I just talked to HR and they said, you're a gem.
Where are they?
Their words. Their words.
You're a gem.
J-I-M.
Yeah, they think I'm somebody else. I'm like, as long as the
Jim,
paycheck's
I told
clear,
you to get out of here.
they think I'm a gem. anyway, these are things that are supposed to be going away in the near future. I want to see if you can live life without them or whether you will. The first one, wired chargers. As wireless induction charging becomes a standard for devices like phones and watches, you won't need to carry cords for every gadget. Cords.
Sometimes it's too easy.
Good or bad?
You can put your phone on a wireless charger next to your bed so that you can just set the phone down. You don't have to plug it in all the time. But if I'm laying in bed trying to read Twitter and watch sombrero memes like I was last night and my battery is super low, then I have to hold the wireless charger in my hand. Sometimes you need a cord.
Yeah.
I agree. Although, if you can get to a place where it's charging, you know, if you're just near something, if it's not, that's not to sit right on it.
Ooh, I don't like the thought that I could also be charging at the same time.
Yeah,
if it's emanating electric pulses of...
Do you ever worry about where you keep your phone, like in your pocket or wherever?
Probably not as much as you do.
Near you, 'cause I do. I think about, I always keep it in my right pocket.
Yeah.
And so am I going to get skin cancer there or something? Because it's always there.
Some people think you will.
And I take it out of my pocket while I'm sitting here for that reason. But I don't know if it's really doing that much.
For your right hip?
Yeah, so it's not sitting against my skin all day. Mm. The next one is passwords. They might be going away because they say biometric sensors on smartphones and laptops that use fingerprints and facial recognition are replacing the need to remember multiple passwords.
I use biometric stuff for all my things, and it's a lifesaver. I don't know my password.
I really prefer passwords to all the new stuff. Because it just drives me crazy. If your hands are wet, for instance, you go to put your fingerprint on there. It won't work.
Have you ever been laying in bed and... you're laying there and for whatever reason, like your hand, like if you're holding the phone up and you're trying, this is me, I'm cuddled up under bed and I can't have a large phone. I can't maybe reach something with my thumb and I will push my phone with my nose. Have you ever done that? Nobody in here has done that.
I shift the phone in my hand.
I'd be honest with you if I had.
I know. There is somebody out there who has... made something intentionally happen on their phone by using their nose to like scroll. I have. I'm not the only one, but I'm probably in the great minority.
Does anybody else use their chin to close doors?
All the time.
Okay.
Chin to close doors.
Just making sure. Especially my trunk. I don't have an automatic one, so I'll use
Dudes, this is an X's and Y's question. Did dudes ever use their feet to flush a toilet?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I have, yeah.
All the time.
Ryan's like, I didn't know I could do that.
Explain why.
In public, I will use my shoe, like at a gas station or something, yeah. I will use my shoe and I'll kick the little lever to flush it.
So just wash your hands. Just, you know, you go from there to
too.
The sink.
Oh, I do that too.
I don't understand. I mean, I can see using your foot to open the door because you already washed your hands.
No, I'll do that.
Really?
Nope. I don't.
What's the point of washing your hands?
Well, everyone else that's opening that door has just washed their hands as well, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm sure they have.
That's not true.
I'm just so sick. Before we move on from passwords, I'm so sick of five-factor authentication and blah, blah, blah. There's times I'm trying to log into something, and then to log into my email to get it into that thing, I got to do a verification to get to the email to get to the other thing.
Yeah, you know what I don't like? I don't like when you have the same password for everything, but then you're signing up for whatever new account, and it says, oh, but for this one, you have to have multiple characters, but you also can't have the same ones back to back or three in a row. And it becomes really intricate in that. And then you have to change it for like one random thing. And then that you're just setting it up for that password to get lost.
Uh-huh.
That's what
every I hate. Time. Every time. Remote controls will be going away. Voice operated devices like Amazon Echo.
Oh, that'll be fun when you have six people trying to watch TV and nobody has control of the remote.
Yep.
Everybody's just yelling out what they want to watch.
Little toddler yelling out constantly.
Bluey!
Yeah.
Volume down.
No, not Bluey. I'm trying to watch the latest episode of The West Wing.
I like how you can... You guys
have... 9-year-old.
Any of you have the Apple TV?
No.
No? Brad does?
Yeah.
You can use your phone as the remote. And I think that that's probably going to become more common, but that's actually really convenient. I like that.
You can do that with Amazon.
Can you?
TV
okay.
Too, yeah.
Another thing that they predict is going away, keys. Home security systems operated by smartphones and biometric locks are making physical keys unnecessary for homes, and they already are pretty much for cars.
Let's go.
Don't like that.
Love
yeah,
it.
That'll go great, I'm sure.
There's
no issues.
That. Do you have a car that has a remote, not remote start, but like the where you don't have to put the key in?
No. Mm-hmm. No, I still have to put a key in.
Wait until you do. Game changer.
You know what drives me crazy is when I rent a car and it has one of those. I'm not used to it, and so I'll put my key in the
there's just nowhere to
in
put
the cup
it
holder.
In the cup holder, and then I walk away, and it starts yelling at me, and I'm like, "What?
Mm-hmm.
It's not even my car. Wait, it is my car, but I don't know what to
it's
do."
Not at the same time.
Yeah, a physical credit cards, mobile payment services such as Apple Pay.
Do you tap to pay?
I tap to pay with my credit card.
Ethan, you a tap to payer?
Sometimes my wife does it all the time.
You, Brad?
Not with my phone, no.
Oh man, I do it all the time. It's the go-to.
I just forget it's there.
I have my debit card and my credit cards and stuff all loaded up there. Then I have to carry less things.
Yeah.
Here's one I think we can all be very excited about.
I'm very confident.
Toilet brushes.
Oh,
many
finally.
Many predict that more sanitary and self-cleaning toilet technology could eventually make traditional toilet brushes obsolete.
I'm game.
Me too.
I would really look forward to not having to use my feet to clean the toilet either with the brush.
Barefoot?
Ew. You got to hold the toilet brush with my feet.
Oh, you
it's
hold the toilet
difficult.
Brush. I thought you just meant you went right on in there.
No.
he just cleans it with his bare foot. the last one, this is a little bit scary though. Checks and
scarier
cash.
Than cleaning your toilet with your foot?
That's just jokes. These are just jokes.
Jokes.
This one's for real. Checks and cash. Digital transactions are, of course, fast replacing physical checks and cash for many everyday purchases. I still like to use cash.
Cash is fine, but it's hard to keep up with because we don't live in a cash society. Mm,
right.
Yeah.
I don't ever need to see a check again in my life.
Do you always carry cash, though, even if you don't use a lot of cash?
Yes, I do now because I got to get in all these kids' sports games.
$3, please.
I'm always like, hey, two of you kids, you're going to have to stay in the car. Can't afford this.
I'll leave the windows cracked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Leave the car
if
ready.
If you're good.
All right. Let's talk to Chairman Jason Smith in the next hour, plus Joe Koch.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.